In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Christian life is not meant to be a life of stagnation. That is to say, the Christian life is not intended by God to be a constant loop of sin and forgiveness without any growth in holiness accompanying it. Yes, the Christian life is characterized by constant forgiveness. The prophet Isaiah makes this clear when he writes, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Yes, the Christian life is characterized by constant and repeated forgiveness, for we daily sin much. And yet, that continual loop of sin and forgiveness should not be a stagnant loop, completely devoid of growth in holiness. For the prophet Isaiah is quite clear that growth in holiness, sanctification, as we call it, is expected for the Christian life. For he says immediately before the verse I just read, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Justification is the bedrock of our Christian faith, namely that Christ has gone to the cross to suffer and die in our place so that we might be forgiven. This is the bedrock of our Christian faith. But sanctification always goes with justification. Therefore, we have devoted time during this Lenten season to considering virtue. And virtue is really just another way to think about growth in holiness or sanctification. And so we have discussed those seven classical virtues outlined on that half sheet that I gave you a number of weeks ago. Again, more are back where the bulletins are. And those classical virtues are traditionally divided into two categories, the cardinal virtues and the theological virtues. Last Wednesday, we finished looking at the theological virtues, particularly focusing on faith and hope, having looked at love, of course, a number of weeks back on Quinquagesima Sunday. And those theological virtues of faith, hope, and love are pure gifts of God to his people. They cannot be achieved by human effort or will. They are gifts of God. Today, we return back to those cardinal virtues of temperance, justice, fortitude, and prudence. These are virtues that we humans do have to work at in order to cultivate in ourselves. We've discussed temperance and justice already. Today we will turn our attention to fortitude. Now, fortitude might be simply described as courage. Fortitude is doing the right thing in the face of fear. Doing the right thing in the face of fear. Now, recall what we said a number of weeks ago, that virtue is not about a single choice in one moment. Virtue is about a habitual inclination, a tendency toward something, that more often than not, your tendency is to choose the good over the bad. That doesn't mean that we will completely do away with sin, but again, we can grow in holiness. So fortitude, again, is doing the right thing in the face of fear. Fortitude, of course, is not cowardice, but likewise, fortitude is not recklessness. It's somewhere in the middle, doing the right thing in the face of fear. And so it is that we learned a number of weeks ago on Sexagesima, when we heard Paul's long litany in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12 of all his sufferings, we learned that fortitude involves suffering. In fact, fortitude at its core is really about learning how to have courage to suffer well. Recall back in that reading that the apostle lists all of the various things that he has suffered. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been adrift at sea. And he goes on and on and on. What is the point of all of this, though? What is the point of suffering for the Christian? The point is that it is God who is at work within us to enable us to learn and to achieve this virtue of fortitude. For what does God say to the apostle when he pleads with him to take this thorn in the flesh away? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." This is the lesson that we must learn by the effort and the discipline that it takes to cultivate virtue. We must learn to depend on God's grace alone and not our own strength. For God's power is made perfect in our weakness. So it is that discipline is required to develop and cultivate any type of virtue. And for the virtue of fortitude, the major disciplines that must be cultivated to bring about, to cultivate fortitude, those disciplines are patience and perseverance. We see these things in the apostle. Again, listing all the various things that he has suffered, that he's been beaten, that he's been shipwrecked, he's been in danger. He's been weary, sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty. He's learned patience and perseverance in all of this. He has learned that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, the apostle concludes, most gladly, I will rather boast. I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In fact, he goes on to say that I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is fortitude, learning how to suffer well, to do the right thing in the face of fear, and to cling to faith in God who is our strength. We see a very interesting example of this in today's gospel text, that long reading from John chapter 9 about the man born blind. He doesn't choose to go through what he goes through, and yet this man is a perfect example for us. Not that he is perfect, but he is a classic example of fortitude being worked in a person. And notice, we could go through this whole reading, but notice that there are two particular ways that this man who was born blind demonstrates how all Christians must learn fortitude. The first is through physical suffering. Consider the beginning of the gospel text. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Isn't that the question that we all tend to ask? Maybe not in those exact words, but when there is suffering, especially that we are experiencing, "What did I do to deserve this?" is so often our question. And yet Jesus tells us to think differently. It's not about what you did. It's not about what someone else did that caused you to deserve this suffering. No, Jesus answered his disciples in verse 3 and says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Is your suffering a punishment for sin or some sort of evil that you have done? Maybe. But that's not really the point. If you have repented of your sin and have received the Lord's forgiveness, then that is in the past. Here's how we need to view the suffering that we experience. Physical suffering is the work of God in us. Now, that may sound a little bit odd. You may be thinking, but I thought God didn't inflict harm and evil upon people. And yet the Lord is clear when he says that this man was born blind so that the works of God should be revealed in him. This is what we in theology call the alien work of God. The things that he does not want to do to bring about the good that we need. The physical suffering that comes upon us is God's work to help us to grow in holiness. Again, we tend to think in terms of sin and punishment, but God has other purposes. Recall Romans chapter 8. God works in all things for the good of those who love him. That is to say, God is not merely reacting when something bad happens to you. Oh no, how can I fix this? No, God is in control. How is it that the Lord is at work through the blindness of this man? Well, through this man's faithful suffering and ultimately through his healing, he becomes a witness to others. Physical suffering is the work of God in us. Sometimes we may see the outcome, as here. Other times we may not. But we must trust that God is at work to bring about good for those who love him. The second thing that we learn from the man who is born blind about the fortitude that we must all learn is how he suffers as a witness for Christ. Note how similar this description is of how this man suffers before the various religious leaders. Note how similar it is to our Lord's own trial and suffering. He is accused of wrongdoing. He suffers for the truth. He is called a liar. He's reviled. He's given an unfair trial, just like our Lord. And yet there, this formerly blind man stands as a witness for Christ. One of the most striking lines in the entire Gospel of John is in John chapter 9, verse 9, where this man says, "I am." They don't know who he is. If he is the one who was born blind, what does he say? "I am." This is the one time in the entire Gospel of John that that formulation we know connecting it to the divine name in the Old Testament, "I am," is the one time that this phrase is used and comes out of the mouth of anyone besides our Lord Jesus. For this man is standing in the place of Christ. He is his witness. He has been sent, just as the apostles would be sent later. This man has been sent to bear witness to Christ. And so we see that as a suffering witness, this formerly blind man is being conformed to the image of Christ through his suffering. And so, dear friends, this is the point of suffering. This is the point of cultivating fortitude. Not that we would somehow increase our justification or earn and merit God's grace. The point of suffering, the point of cultivating the virtue of fortitude, is that we would be made like Christ. Perhaps you've heard it said that strength or growth can only come through resistance. We know this especially in athletics and even in the mental, psychological sort of realm. Strength and growth comes through resistance. If this is true of earthly things, how much more is it true of heavenly things? And so, dear friends, let us take pleasure in our infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses that we suffer for Christ's sake. For when we are weak, then He makes us strong. God grant it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.